This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Brother Baron, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very good. And yourself?
Doing good, my friend. Thank you for standing by. Let me get Brother Mac on and we'll be ready to go.
Okay.
Folks out there, welcome. Wherever you're tuning in from. Good to be here with you tonight. Okay, we're dialing Brother Mac back.
Yeah, I'm back.
We got you back. And Brother Baron, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I have you 5x5.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you for standing by. We got a full hour beginning now. And folks, welcome. I'm excited to be here with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. And who would like to do the honor and open us up in prayer?
I'll go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we can be together with you. We, first of all, bring before you ourselves humbly, and we plead the blood of your Son Jesus over our lives. We ask for your forgiveness of our sins. Keep us from iniquity, evil, and wickedness, and darkness, and deliver us from the enemy. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and I ask this for every listener, whatever time or whatever date, whatever year, they are listening to this program. May the Lord mightily arise and his enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, over to you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Tonight's going to be a little... Last week we were sort of positive. We went through the emergence of King Saul. We saw a lot of things he was doing right, because Samuel's sons, be honest, they were about as bad as you could get. They took bribes, they perverted judgment, and I think part of it is just that, you know, The tribe of Levi was not to rule. They were to be the priestly role. And that's what Samuel's sons should have done, as they should have been in that priestly role. and judgment shouldn't have come to them until the rest of Israel hadn't figured it out what to do. And there were methods that the Torah explained on how these things should be done. But when Samuel actually became the judge and ruled, he was actually taking a triple role, both as priest, ruler, and judiciary. He was taking on too much, but it had to be done. Prior to Samuel, we had Eli, and his administration was a mess. But Samuel didn't realize there was a bigger picture. We're going to see the leadership go from Levi to Benjamin to Judah. And we saw why Judah could not be in a leadership position at this point in time. So,
yeah, they had to wait out the curse.
Exactly. But
in fact, for our listeners, it's a 10-generational curse because of a bastard child being born to Judah.
Two of them, actually.
Two of them, yeah.
And so, sad to say, the Israelites wrongly thought that having a king would solve their corruption issues. And Samuel warned the Israelites what would happen if they had a king. And Yahuwah actually chose Saul as their first king. You might say, well, that was a mistake. Well, he had to do that because Judah wasn't in a position to take that role yet. And he also wanted to push Benjamin back up. If you go back into the book of Judges, Benjamin is at odds with the other 11 tribes, and they were having a problem getting back on track. But once we saw Saul get in, first we have to realize that Saul was tall and handsome, very attractive for the women, and something men can respect. And in the beginning, he appeared to be one who'd obey commands, which is important for being a king, because the prophetic role is not in the king very often. But also Saul appeared to be humble. When Samuel picked out the family and said, well, it's Saul. Well, Saul was hidden. He hid himself. He didn't want to. He was scared about being king. He was humble. But also another thing that was a blessing, we thought, was he was filled with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he prophesied. So a lot of people in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements had a tie-in with Saul because the Holy Spirit wasn't really given out to everybody like it is now. And finally, he had command presence. Getting a bunch of lazy Israelites to do what he needed to do, well, he hewed a yoke of oxen into pieces and sent the pieces around the nation of Israel saying, if you don't show up, that's what I'm doing to your oxen. Well, nobody's going to say no at that. And so what do we have? We have Saul at war. He reigns 1 year, but when 2 years around, he starts to raise up a permanent army, which is what Samuel said would happen. He's going to take men from your fields and put them to work being his army. And guess what? The Israelites get to pay for that. And so what happens? His son Jonathan takes a garrison and attacks the Philistines in Geba. And he wipes them out. Well, the Philistines aren't happy, but Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that all Israel was also had in abomination with the Philistines.
And the people poke a bear.
Yeah. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. They go back to Gilgal once more, and they are going to, they got to deal with another issue. In fact, this was the number one thing that Saul was supposed to do, is he was supposed to deal with the Philistines. One question I got to ask, did Jonathan get authorization to attack this garrison? Maybe Dad wasn't quite ready to be attacking the Philistines. You don't poke bears. And sure enough, we go to 1 Samuel 13, verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots. Think in modern terms, 30,000 tanks and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Haven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. Well, looks like Philistines are major crisis. Once again, Saul's going to have to figure out a way to raise an army. But he's also going to need the blessing of Yahuwah if he's going to get this to work right. So, he calls up Samuel. Now, Samuel's old. He doesn't move quite as quick as he used to. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel's not there. Maybe our Heavenly Father isn't blessing this war. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. See a problem with that? And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto Yahuwah. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." I forced myself. There wasn't anybody putting a gun to his head telling him to do this. The Philistines were still assembling, for all I know. And they weren't moving. Why did he force himself? And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Yahuwah thy Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahuwah have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yahuwah hath sought him a man after his own heart, and Yahuwah has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yahuwah commanded thee." 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. Some would say this is Saul's first major mistake, because in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 5 through 17, it is specified only a priest, a descendant of Aaron, can offer a sacrifice. But at this point, the tribe of Benjamin, not just Saul, the tribe of Benjamin lost the right to be the kingly tribe. And that right would revert to the tribe of Judah. But maybe the most noticeable thing in this was David was about 10 years old when Samuel said this. But for a change, Samuel and his priests would have plenty of time to teach David the Torah and have him write out his own copy. That's important because a king does have judging aspects to his rulership. And part of that judging is knowing what the Torah says. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual. And another company turned the way to Beth-horon. And another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Sebuim, toward the wilderness. See, Philistines, they know how to do this. They've been fighting with the Egyptians for years. So what they do, they break out three companies and send them in as spoilers. Their job is to disquiet Israel.
But yeah, here's a problem. They normally use that particular task. We would call them forward scouts. But in those days, that was also, they were scouting out the land, but they were scouting out where can we forage, because the army lived off what the enemy had. Anyway.
Okay. Here's another problem. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So they could file their sharp instruments, but they could not create anything, and that was a problem. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. However, you know, Saul and his guys still had their equipment. But this is an issue that Israel will have to deal with. And finally, by verse 47, so Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon, dealt with them again, and against Edom, and against the kings of Zobah, and against the Philistines. And whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host and smote the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. But chapter 52, and there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. It's called a draft. He'd been drafted. And also, it's interesting, right in the middle of 1 Samuel 14, we learn about Saul's family. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishui, and Malchishua. And the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, and the daughter, Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. So Abner was a first cousin. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And so, once we got everything settled, suddenly Saul's got another job to do. Get over to 1 Samuel 15, one of those key places in the Bible where you need to study carefully. We're going to try to do some of that tonight, but time's not going to let me do a lot of it. But hopefully we'll get some of this down. Samuel also said unto Saul, Yahuwah sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. And now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Yahuwah. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Some of you might remember that Benjamin Netanyahu called the people in Gaza Amalekites. And his idea was to do the same thing that Saul was supposed to do to Amalek. He was supposed to destroy them all. But, you know, Saul had already dealt with the Amalekites once. But now He's given an order. It's time to destroy them, because they had been a thorn in the side of the Israelites ever since the Exodus. And here's a verse from Exodus 17:14, which supports what Samuel said. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Yahshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So that's why King Saul was commanded to slay everyone and everything, even all the livestock. Doesn't matter whether they're good or bad, you get rid of them all. There must have been some kind of contamination in them. That's the only thing I can think of. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. So 210,000 men, that's a lot, especially in that time. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley and said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So, 210,000, that's a lot to draft. And it's certainly a lot more than they need to deal with the Amalekites. But Saul does something very interesting. He warns the Kenites to depart from the Amalekite cities. So I wonder if this wouldn't tip off the Amalekites of an impending attack. I don't know. And this showing of kindness that he talks about, I couldn't find that in the Torah. The only thing about the Kenites is that Abram was told that he was giving, that their land was his. But I do think there is one thing he might have been thinking about, Judges 5:24. A line in the Song of Deborah and Barak praises the wife of Heber the Kenite, because she put a tent peg through the head of a Canaanite commander named Sisera. That's one woman I wouldn't want to be around. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Wait a minute. Did I not hear Samuel say you're supposed to kill everyone? Didn't say you could spare the king. It didn't say you could parse out the good stuff so you could take it home with you. Instead, then the word of Yahuwah came unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto Yahuwah all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." Here he goes to Gilgal once again. This is the third time. But what we do find out is Saul's writing his own Torah. He's going to be the new Catholic Church in Israel. And yes, Samuel felt responsible for setting this dude up as a king. But Saul, he wasn't a king, he was a politician. He didn't realize that a king should not be concerned with politics. They should be above the politicians. They should rule over them and set things straight. But now, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou, Yahuwah. I have performed the commandment of Yahuwah." Really? And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahuwah thy Elohim, and the rest we have utterly destroyed."
And actually, their motive was to have a barbecue instead of a burnt offering.
Well, unfortunately, the Torah, Exodus 20:24, says, "A sacrifice is when you give up something you already own. You don't take something you've stolen from somebody else and sacrifice it. That's not a sacrifice." Saul was told to kill everything. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what Yahuwah hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yahuwah anointed thee king over Israel? And Yahuwah sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.' Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of Yahuwah, but didst fly on the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of Yahuwah?" He reminded Saul where he was, and the fact that it was his heavenly Father that put him in a place of being king over Israel. Believe me, Samuel was not happy and not done. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahuwah, and have gone the way which Yahuwah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." No, you didn't. There's one left. "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahuwah thy Elohim in Gilgal." Verse 22, chapter 15. Learn these two verses. They are important. And Samuel said, "Hath Yahuwah great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Yahuwah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." This is memory verse time. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of Yahuwah. He hath also rejected thee from being king." Boy. "And Saul said unto Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Yahuwah and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" Wait a minute. It's the people's fault that you sinned? "Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship Yahuwah." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." At that point, Saul should have handed his crown over and went back to Benjamin and dealt with his father's estates. And let Samuel find someone else. This is just, it's, and we see politicians do it today. They blame it on somebody else when they're confronted with their sin. They blame it on someone else. And do you think our Heavenly Father is going to accept their excuse any more than he accepted Saul's? But I'll say this. I don't think Saul ever understood the magnitude of the sin he committed. Even though he performed 90% of the tasks assigned to him, the 10% left undone caused him to lose his kingdom. He's going to make things worse. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship Yahuwah thy Elohim. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped Yahuwah. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Yahuwah at Gilgal. This is something Samuel should have never had to do. It's not his place. It's not his place. Because we read in Esther 3 that Haman was an Agagite.
Stand by this
somehow.
Thing. Brother Beard? If you can mute yourself, or hang on, maybe I'll try to do it. It's raining over there, I think. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, they've been having rains all day.
Let me do it for you here. Yep, I muted you. Don't worry, I can take care of it over here, Brother Beard. When you're ready to flip the mic back over to him, just let me know and unmute him. Thank God for rain, though. Folks, if you're just joining us, we are live with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. And gentlemen, I sure am enjoying this Bible study tonight. How sad it is, the story of King Saul, and it's a lesson to us all when we don't obey the Lord. Back to you. Keep going.
Okay. That's the, you never should allow your priests to clean up your messes. You need to do them yourself. You should have never had to kill Agag. That should have been the soldier's job. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and Yahuwah repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. It's interesting. There was only two more times they would ever see each other. But Samuel would never go to visit King Saul again. It's a sad, sad situation. It's only about to get worse. And what did Samuel do? We're not going to study it tonight, but he went to the house of Jesse. And he picked out a young boy named David, who was probably about 12 at that time. And he anointed him king over Israel. And this young man, he got the Holy Spirit. But we learn in chapter 16, verse 14, but the Spirit of Yahuwah departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from Yahuwah troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from Elohim troubleth thee. He's probably getting migraine headaches, probably getting getting body pain. But don't worry, his servants have an answer. Let our master now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from Elohim is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. He was desperate already. He knew he was on the way out. But this has been a troubling part of the Bible for many Pentecostals and charismatics, because some of their denominational leaders teach that a Christian cannot have a demon. Well, here we see how Paul went from being filled with the Holy Spirit to being tormented by an evil ruach or spirit. But one of the problems in the Pentecostal movement is this doctrine that the Torah has been done away with. It has not been done away with. Like many people who choose to violate the laws of the Torah, the Holy Spirit departs from them. And that's always an invitation for an evil spirit to take his place. And verse 15 says that that evil spirit was given leave to torment Saul by Yahuwah. This comes from the top. And of course, when he gets leave, he's going to go do what he can. And the servant suggests to the king, well, you know, if we can find somebody who can play that harp pretty well, that might help you. Because if he plays the right notes, the demon will leave until the music quits playing. You know what? I found that to be true, that evil spirits, and even the devil himself, hates the Torah. And I've started turning some of the Torah to music. And I often get the same result. I've been experimenting with Numbers 19. It's a very, very interesting result I have gotten. But we need to move on. But then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and Yahuwah is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David unto his son unto Saul. You know, David still had to keep that anointing secret. I'm sure that's what Samuel told him to do. But, you know, still David's musical abilities were brought to the attention of Saul. And sure enough, let's read the next scriptures. 1 Samuel 16:21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from Elohim was upon Saul, that David took a harp, probably closer to a guitar, and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I've come to believe that David translated the Torah into music, much as the Lord has shown me how to do it. And when that Torah is in music, the demon or the evil spirit is not around to listen. or at least initially, after a while, it didn't leave. And then the next time you hear about David, he's gone off and he's dispatched Goliath and did so with a slingshot, the most unlikely of all weapons, yet he was very adept at it. And he picked up 5 rocks so that he could deal with the entire family. But no, that would be left for other family members or other Israelites to do, including one of David's nephews. But after that, suddenly here it comes. And we're going to go to chapter 18, verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more than the kingdom? Now, where have we seen that David wanted the kingdom? Never. But David was the one that slew Goliath, not Saul. But when you start to have an evil spirit working on you and working on you, the insanity becomes present. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from Elohim came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, and as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin. For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because Yahuwah was with him, and he was departed from Saul. He knows what Samuel has said. And the insanity grows. We're seeing that in this country right now, and it's sort of a problem. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight Yahuwah's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Well, I'm going to send you out in the field. You're going to fight the Philistines. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at that time, when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Melhoathite, to wife. He broke his promise. Sends him out in the field. While he's out in the field, he sends his firstborn daughter to another man. And that's a problem we see. He makes promises and then they break them. Something else came up. Sorry, you're out of luck. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him to her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Well, Michael had a crush on David. And so Saul has decided that he's going to use that crush so he can snare David. But right now, at this point, David, or Saul, is insane almost. And Saul's servant spake those words into the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Saul decided, let's give this guy a task he can't complete. Because if he died in battle, well, that's it. But he knew better. Deep down, he knew better. Samuel's prophecy continued to haunt him. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in a full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that Yahuwah was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. I find it interesting. Not just 100 foreskins, he gets 200. That's twice what Saul asked for. And you're getting to the point now where the Philistines respect David. But now Saul is furious. And we are really getting tight on time, so I'm going to jump ahead a little bit.
Brother Mac? Let me just say to Brother Baird, Brother Baird, it looks like you have yourself muted. You can unmute anytime you want and jump in. You have to hit the unmute switch on your computer. Now, if you're just joining us, I'm honored to be here with Major Tom Baird and Professor Tom Mack, and we can go another 10 minutes. Then we need to stop. So would extra 10 minutes work for you?
That'll work great.
Okay, continue on.
Okay. So the biggest event after that, you know, we would find Saul. He's trying everything he can to get rid of David. He's put a contract out on him. And one event I regret I have to not cover is David goes running off to Samuel. And he tells Samuel everything that's happening. And I'm sure Samuel made notes, because we have these stories in the Bible because of David telling these stories to Samuel. And Saul sends one batch of servants to get rid of David. And when they get there, Samuel and his prophets start playing their music, and they prophesy. Saul sends another batch of servants. And when they get there, instead of killing David, they prophesy. Finally, Saul says, I guess if you want it done right, you're going to have to do it yourself. So he picks up and goes to Ramah, where Samuel lives. And when he gets there, not only does he prophesy, he takes off his clothes and prophesies naked. You know that something is deeply wrong with him. And then after that event, Samuel dies. The whole nation is in mourning. They realize they have lost probably one of the greatest men in the history of Israel, and he still is one of the greatest men in the land of Yisrael. They could use him now. But now Samuel was dead. Let's go to 1 Samuel 28. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shechem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. It's one of those bad moments where he knows now that Samuel is right. And when Saul inquired of Yahuwah, Yahuwah answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Because I'm sure by this point in time, the company of prophets was broken up after Samuel died, and none of them could get a word. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. This is getting bad. He's got to get an answer, but now when the right way to do it is taken from him, he does it the wrong way. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then, Oh, there he is.
Yes, sir. You're back. Awesome.
Then thou layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swear by her, to her by Yahuwah, saying, as Yahuwah liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Oh, boy. But she keeps going. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw Elohim ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and Elohim is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now, let's find out. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing Yahuwah is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And Yahuwah hath done to him as he spake by me. For Yahuwah hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even unto David, because thou obeyest not the voice of Yahuwah, nor executeth his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath Yahuwah done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, Yahuwah will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Yahuwah shall also deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Not the prophecy you want to hear, but then Saul fell straight away all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid has obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on the way. But Saul refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. And they rose up and went away that night. And since we're low on time, I'm going to tell the rest of the story. The next day they went out to battle. And Saul and his sons were killed. They were killed. The host of Israel was totally defeated. And everybody fled. Now there is no more Israel. There's no more Israel. It has ceased to be a nation. Their king is dead. All his sons are dead. Israel has become nothing. And it was all they could do to retrieve the bodies of Saul and his sons and bury them properly. But in the end, the nation of Israel was done for. And it's going to take everything David can do to bring this country back. And I suppose that's what we're going to have to do next time.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you were going through that, and Saul was struck with insanity by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has struck all of the leaders of the United States and the Western world with a spirit of insanity, that we might continue to do insane escalations to our destruction. This is from the Lord.
Amen. I read this, and I see the United States heading down that same road. We've seen it with your prophecies. We've seen it with other prophecies. We've seen the destruction of this federal government. I think there will be places that will survive, but there will never be a federal government like this ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see this in a lot of other countries, not just the United States. I'm wondering if Germany won't break down into its parts. Because prior to 1870, Germany was, 43 countries? And I could be very wrong on that. France could be broken up. Italy could be broken up. Even Great Britain. You may see England and Scotland and Wales and Ireland all broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing a judgment, and that's why this story is so apropos today.
Amen.
And if you want to learn more, write me at tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And Major Baird?
Yeah, at tom@aliveontheedge.com.
And we will thank Shannon for letting us do this presentation.
Amen.
Yes, I don't know where he is right now, but
may the Lord bless him mightily. May the Lord bless all those who are listening mightily.
Yes.
And if you are in need of drawing before the Lord in repentance, do so now. Turn away. Each one of us needs to turn away from our sins.
Amen.
Turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness sincerely in the depths of our heart. And he who is merciful and grace abounding will hear your cry as you humble yourself, as we humble ourselves before the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we declare this and we pray this. Amen.
Gentlemen,
amen.
Powerful word today. I really am enjoying this series. What do you want to call it for the archive?
Well, I sent that to you on Skype.
Okay. I've got it then. I've got Israel in Danger, King Saul Part 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Does that mean last week's was Part 1?
Yes.
Okay, gentlemen, before we close, just a little bit of housekeeping duty here. Let me ask you for next month. Well, let me see. Next week we've got you on Wednesday at 8 p.m.
On Wednesday night.
Yes. Do you want all Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern in October?
Actually, Major Baird? Thursdays do a lot easier for me.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, you're normally on Thursday. Not, next week was just a one-time OTO. That's right, I'm sorry. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. How would that work for you gentlemen?
Excellent.
That'll be fine.
Okay, well, count it done. I've got you on already scheduled for October, all Thursdays, 8 to 9 Eastern. Gentlemen, before we close, how can people reach you in your ministries?
We've already said that.
Well, give it out again, because I was on the phone. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, this is Tom Baird, Major Retired, and you can reach me at aliveontheedge.com as my website, and email is tom@aliveontheedge.com. Go over to you, Tom.
Same
Baird.
Thing here, tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org.
Okay,
and
excellent.
The websites, BibleCodes.co, WhiteStoneFoundation.org, Ancient-Evil.org, AntichristWatch.org.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have this uploaded in about an hour, and I'll send you both a copy. Could y'all do me a favor and send it out to your networks as well and get the word out for us?
Yes, I'll have it out as soon as you send it.
We need everybody out there to come and help get the word out. We're in a time where there's 4.5 million podcasts. Very easy to get lost out there, so we need to get the word out far and wide. With that, God bless you both. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Coming up next in about 2 minutes, Brian Melvin. Again, folks, I want you to help us get the word out. If you want this program to continue in its present form, we're going to need help. Get the word out. And I've got all the shows uploaded that we did through yesterday. And, for example, if you love this program we just done, or the one we did at 7 p.m., take it and send a link to somebody. Repost it. You've got permission to do that. Anywhere you want to repost it. Share it with a friend. Send it out on Telegram. Send a text. Send an email blast. Wherever you can help us get the word out. Put it on Facebook. Send it to your Instagram. Tweet it. Or now we should say exit. Help us get the word out. Also, don't forget, sign up for my Substack. Omegaman.substack.com. I'm going to send out one email per week, unless it's a really hot issue and I need to get something out midweek. I'm going to send them out probably Sundays. So you've got between now and Sunday to get on that list. Omegaman.substack.com, because I'm going to put the week's list of programs, other hot information. By the way, next week we're going to have Soulbait on, taking your phone calls. That'll be Thursday the 26th at 8 Eastern. There's a lot of stuff I will get to you in that pipeline of Substack, omegaman.substack.com. If you want to support the program, we sure do appreciate it. It helps us to keep these programs going. And with that, we're going to go to our next program. Coming up now, Brian Melvin. Stand by as I reset. Here we go.